Let's read together Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verses 15 through 29. Now, in the second half of Ecclesiastes 7, we have more wise counsel for living. This passage of Scripture contains a couple of verses that could easily be misinterpreted, and these verses need to be explained in context in order to be properly understood. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, beginning with verse 15. I have seen everything in my days of vanity. There is a just man who perishes in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man who prolongs life in his wickedness. Do not be overly righteous, nor be overly wise. Why should you destroy yourself? Do not be overly wicked, nor be foolish. Why should you die before your time? It is good that you grasp this, and also not remove your hand from the other, for he who fears God will escape them all. Wisdom strengthens the wise more than 10 rulers of the city. For there is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin. Also, do not take to heart everything people say, lest you hear your servant cursing you. For many times also your own heart has known that even you have cursed others. All this I have proved by wisdom. I said, I will be wise, but it was far from me. As for that which is far off and exceedingly deep, who can find it out? I applied my heart to know, to search and seek out wisdom and the reason of things, to know the wickedness of folly, even of wickedness and madness. And I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets, whose hands are fetters. He who pleases God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be trapped by her. Here's what I have found, says the preacher, adding one thing to the other to find out the reason which my soul still seeks, but I cannot find. One man among 1,000 I have found, but a woman among all these I have not found. Truly this only I have found, that God made man upright, but they have sought out many schemes. Let's consider a few background notes as we begin our study of the second half of Ecclesiastes chapter 7. We saw in the first half of Ecclesiastes chapter 7 that God does not give us a blueprint for our lives, but he does give us counsel for living, which is far better. Let's face it, life is not easy. There are ups and downs. There are trials and temptations. There are good days and bad days. There are extended periods of adversity and extended periods of prosperity. And we never know when and where these changes will take place. As Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1 says, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. Proverbs 27, verse 1. So how do we face life in the midst of all of these unknowns? Well, if you try to figure it out, under the sun, apart from God's revelation, you will come to the conclusion that life does not make sense. It's the luck of the draw as to whether you have pleasure or pain, and in the end, all is meaningless. But if you get above the sun, see everything from the divine perspective, it is a whole different story. We don't know our future, but God not only knows the future, he controls the future. All of life's times and events have been appointed by God, who is sovereign over everything. And God has his good reasons for everything he allows to happen. Now, the Lord has given us the big picture in Scripture as to creation, the fall of humanity, God's wonderful plan of salvation, the coming earthly kingdom of Christ, and the eternal future of heaven and hell. But the Lord has purposely chosen not to explain to us all of his reasons for every time and event on a global scale or on the personal level. Often things look so inconsistent, as Solomon observed in verse 15, a righteous man perishes in his righteousness, and the wicked man prospers in his wickedness. We've all seen examples of this. So in view of our limited knowledge of what God will allow, and in view of the fact that we don't know what a day will bring forth, because we don't have a blueprint for life, we need a lot of godly counsel for how to live life properly and how to avoid the pitfalls in life. Would you agree? Well, God gives us that counsel throughout his word including the seventh chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes. Now, we've already received some good counsel from the first half of Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Now we will receive some more godly counsel in the second half of the chapter, especially what to avoid in order to live a godly life. And that brings us to our doctrinal point for this second half of Ecclesiastes chapter 7. God gives the believer advice for what to avoid in life. God gives the believer advice for what to avoid in life. Verses 16 through 18. Do not be overly righteous, nor be overly wise. Why should you destroy yourself? Do not be overly wicked, nor be foolish. Why should you die before your time? It is good that you grasp this, and also not remove your hand from the other, for he who fears God will escape them all. The emphasis in these verses is to avoid extremes. Solomon's point here is not to allow yourself to practice a little sin as long as you don't lead a life of sin. No, far be the thought. His point is to practice moderation. Excessive righteousness leads to Pharisaical self-righteousness and perfectionism and legalism and hypercriticism and an unforgiving spirit. It can even lead to extreme asceticism and certainly frustration. Illustration. The other day I parked outside the library in a 10-minute parking zone. I glanced at my watch when I returned and realized that I had been in that parking place 12 minutes. As a Christian, what should I do? Should I go to the town hall and apologize and ask what I owe? Should I call the police and request a ticket? No. I practice Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 16, and don't worry about it. I don't destroy myself with worry and ulcers and loss of sleep about this trifle. But at the same time, I don't take this counsel for moderation to the other extreme and begin to practice parking overtime or begin to conveniently forget to pay parking tickets, etc., etc. Many other examples of this principle could be given. To practice balance and moderation and avoid extremes is godly counsel, but make sure you avoid wrongdoing. In verses 19 through 22, the godly guideline of avoid revenge seems to capture the emphasis of these verses. Verses 19 through 22, wisdom strengthens the wise more than 10 rulers of the city. For there is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin. Also, do not take to heart everything people say, lest you hear your servant cursing you. For many times also your own heart is known that even you have cursed others. There are so many situations we face in life where it's easy to fly off the handle and lose control of ourselves, such as when we overhear someone bad-mouthing us with unfair criticism. Behind our backs, verse 21, we need to control our emotions and practice self-control and self-restraint and avoid revenge. The wisdom of godly counsel gives us the strength, verse 19, to avoid revenge because we realize that no one is perfect, verse 20, and we have certainly put down others behind their backs many times, verse 22. Anyone here want to raise your hand and say that you're an exception? Let's group verses 23 through 26 under the subtitle of Avoid Temptation. Verses 23 through 26. All this I have tested by wisdom. I said, I will be wise, but it was far from me. As for that which is far off and exceedingly deep, who can find it out? I applied my heart to know, to search and seek out wisdom and the reason of things, to know the wickedness of folly, even of foolishness and madness. And I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets, whose hands are fetters. He who pleases God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be trapped by her. Verses 23 through 26. In verses 23 through 25, Solomon acknowledged that wisdom is not easy to attain, And even as the wisest man who ever lived, he had to admit that to fathom all the mysteries of life was beyond him. But one thing is sure. If you are wise in God's sight, you will avoid temptation. To avoid temptation pleases God. In verse 26, the temptation is put in a sexual context, but it certainly can be applied to any temptation to sin. To yield to temptation is folly and the way of a fool. To resist and avoid temptation is the way of wisdom, and this way of living pleases God. Now in verses 27 and 28, we have two verses that could easily be misinterpreted. Verses 27 and 28. Here's what I have found, says the preacher, adding one thing to the other to find out the reason, which my soul still seeks, but I cannot find. One man among a thousand I have found, but a woman among all these I have not found. What is Solomon saying here? Is he a male chauvinist? No, that is not the point. We know from Proverbs 31 that Solomon is not a chauvinist. Let's group these two verses under the subpoint, avoid pedestals. Solomon's point is that truly wise and upright people are few and far between, and this was a cultural way to state that truth. One commentator paraphrased verse 28 this way, quote, I have found very few people who please God, no one at all, really, end of quote. Therefore, we should avoid putting people up on pedestals. You are bound to be disappointed. This holds true not only in politics, but in the church as well. Avoid pedestals. So in summary of this second half of Ecclesiastes chapter 7, avoid extremes, avoid revenge, avoid temptation, and avoid pedestals. God gives the believer advice for what to avoid in life. What about practical application from this second half of Ecclesiastes chapter 7? Watch out for worldly explanations. Watch out for worldly explanations. Verse 29, truly this only I have found, that God made man upright, but they have sought out many schemes. Schemes or devices or explanations. The Hebrew word used here is the same word that's used in verses 25 and 27 and translated explanation in some translations. The point of the verse is that people are the problem, not God. God made the human race upright, but men and women have gone away from God to do their own thing, their own schemes, and their own explanations and philosophies. People without the wisdom and knowledge of God's word twist and distort the truth of Scripture and divine revelation to justify what they want to do and think. And they create God in their own image as part of the package. We need to be warned about such worldly viewpoints and philosophies and explanations, because it's very easy to mix these things in with what the Bible teaches and end up with syncretism, theistic evolution. And a so-called divine Big Bang would be just two examples. So watch out for worldly explanations.